What's going on, Tan and J Man Show Nation? It's Monday night. It's January 26, 2026. And it's episode 480 of the Tan and J Man Show, live on the IC Sports Network, also streaming on the IC Sports Network Twitch channel, YouTube channel, as well as the Tan and J Man Show Facebook page and YouTube channel. Hit that like button, that subscribe button, that follow button, all that good stuff if you haven't already. And most importantly, today is Josh the J-Man Month's 34th birthday. Happy birthday, J-Man.
Much obliged. Yeah, we started this thing when I was, we were both 24 years old, and now, decade later, here we are.
We've covered a lot of sports topics over the last decade.
You know, you look back, and when we first started, like where our sports teams were, we're at, of course, Cubs were coming off a World Series victory. Broncos just, you know, about 10 months before that won a Super Bowl.
Yep. And at the time they were still in playoff contention. They ended up not making it that year, but they still went like 9-7, I think.
Dolphins actually took their spot in the playoffs that year.
Yep.
Purdue basketball was obviously very good, as they are now. Illinois basketball was not very good at that point. I think that was the final year of John Gross. 16-17 was the final year of John Gross. Our teams have come a long way since then.
Purdue football was, I mean, it's bad right now. 3 wins in 2 years, but it was in the era of 9 wins in 4 years, which, I mean, we'll see. That still could be, I guess, the case. But they had some better moments through the last decade. But, yeah, it's interesting to reflect on that for sure. But I will say, in those 10 years, I don't think I've had a sports week worse than this past week was for me.
Yeah. Maybe in your entire life.
I honestly, I'm not trying to over-exaggerate when I say that. I can't think of one, like, overall for a 7-day stretch that was worse than this past week was for me.
Yeah, it was a bunch of moments that were just bad for you. Really start – I mean, it started last Sunday with the Bo Nix news.
Yeah, Saturday night. Yeah.
Or Saturday. I guess that was Saturday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Indiana wins. Wins the national championship.
National championship. First national championship of any kind I've seen one of my rival teams win. I mean, I saw Indiana in the 0-2 basketball final, but lost to Maryland. Notre Dame, 2012 BCS championship game, lost to Alabama. And then last year, lost to Ohio State.
Yeah,
but I've never seen one win. And
yeah, I guess you can kind of throw the Chiefs in there. They did win some, but
right.
It's not like it is for Indiana.
Right.
Yeah, and then lose a heartbreaker on what was that, Wednesday night or Tuesday night? Wednesday night.
Tuesday
night. And then lose a tough one Saturday, and then lose a tough one Sunday. That was a rough week. You know, on the bright side, it can't get any worse. Like, it just can't. It could, I guess. Could.
You realize who Purdue basketball plays tomorrow night, right?
I know.
I mean, yeah, it can get worse before it gets better.
It could.
I mean, the bleeding might not stop.
I would be surprised.
I've already told myself Purdue basketball's not winning another game. So,
yeah.
That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I get there. Look, once I look at Illinois' schedule and they lose one game, I'm like, I don't think they're going to make the NCAA tournament. That's just where my brain goes immediately. They'll lose at Nebraska Sunday, and I'm thinking, oh, crap, we got Michigan State, then we have Michigan, then we have the West Coast. We might lose out. They literally might lose out, and it obviously is not going to happen. But for whatever reason – college basketball is the only one that does that to me. I don't know why.
It's just because basketball is a funny sport, and you can get in funks of shooting hot, shooting cold, injuries, just a lot of things. And, like, I know you made a mention in our group chat the other day. You're like, I think Purdue's going to get hot and go on a run. I hope you're right. But, you know, I look at Indiana, at Maryland, which I know Maryland.
They stink.
Then they get a week off. About a full week off and get Oregon at home. But then the week I've been worried about the whole time is the week of Valentine's Day. They're at Nebraska and at Iowa.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they come back and play Michigan and Indiana at home. So it's just like, it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
But
it's just, that's Big Ten play. Every single year it's the exact same, though, and we feel the exact same, and our teams get through it, you know, relatively.
Yeah.
And we should probably start trusting in the program. But once they lose a game, it's you lose trust a lot. You're like, they're not going to hit another shot.
Well, especially when you lose back-to-back games and you have leads late in one and decently late in the other one, 5 minutes left in the other one, and you can't close it out. It just leaves you with a blah feeling, but we can get more into that later.
Yeah. Before we do get any further, I do have some birdie or bogey for you. Let's see. It's an NFL question. Steelers' new head coach, Mike McCarthy, which that was part of my one of my predictions.
Yep.
Now, if Rodgers comes back, he'll get the whole thing correct, which I assume he's going to now that McCarthy's there.
I think it's a lot better chance than it was a week ago.
For sure. He became the 15th coach in NFL history to be hired as a head coach for at least three teams, not including interim stints. There are only three coaches that have been hired four times as a head coach. Can you name those three coaches?
Gosh, that's a good question.
It's a very tough question.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Because I don't know if I'd get any of these.
Man, there's a lot that come to my mind that have been hired by three. A lot.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And two, I'll throw you a bone. Two for a par, one for a, all three for a birdie.
Okay.
Birdie or bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place. Why don't you read that for us? Because once again, I am a slacker.
Be happy to. Yeah, there it is. Jetty's Place, small town vibes, big time flavor. Jetty's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. And I ate there for lunch on Friday and had myself a barbecue chicken melt with a cup of loaded baked potato soup, which, man, it's hard to beat a good bowl of baked potato soup when the weather's like it is right now.
You know, as you know, I'm not a soup guy at all. I don't like soups. But a loaded baked potato from Giretti's, I've had it before, and it's very, very good. And that's coming from a person that does not like soup all that much.
Yeah, I knew you weren't a big soup fan, so that's why I didn't bring it up. Yeah. But, man, when it's 0 degrees out with a windshield, soup just hits the spot, unlike anything else, at least for me.
So. Have you ever really gotten breakfast from Giretti's?
I have before, really like it, but I am not, well, I am in Rochester on Friday, but I have other commitments Friday morning that
fair.
The reason I can't eat breakfast. And then I'm rarely there on Saturday mornings in time to eat breakfast. So,
but
they got a really good menu. Mm-hmm. I think last time I ate there, I had, it might've been one of their cinnamon rolls, big old cinnamon rolls.
But I
don't recall for sure. Yeah. But,
I would go there. I think once or twice a month on Friday mornings before school in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd get like biscuits and gravy. Obviously that was, you know,
15, they still do have biscuits and gravy. I 16, know that.
17 years ago, but it was in changed owners, but fantastic breakfast.
Yep. Yeah. You can't go wrong with anything on the menu for lunch or for breakfast. So go check them out. 703 Main Street, Rochester, Indiana. Well, birthday boy, pretty much any topic we pick on tonight, it's going to be a downer for me, and negativity is going to come out from spewing out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you pick the order of topics we go
on. Let's start with the NFL. Talk some of those.
Rip the Band-Aid right off.
Yeah, might as well, because I imagine that one, it feels worse than the Purdue basketball week.
It does. I wanted to say every loss got worse as the week went on. Every loss did go. I don't know. Monday, Tuesday's pretty close for me, to be honest, even though one, my team was losing, the other didn't even involve my team.
Yeah.
But Saturday and Sunday were worse. But yesterday, and I actually typed out some notes today, some talking points here, because I didn't want to miss anything. Overall, this season was very enjoyable. For me, if you told me before the season that the Broncos were going to go 14-3, win the AFC West, and win a playoff game, and you didn't even have to mention they'd get a bye, number one seed, I would have taken it in a heartbeat. I actually think my goals for the team before the season was win the division and win a playoff game. So they did that. It was one of my most favorite seasons overall as a sports fan I've had. Very stressful, don't get me wrong, because they were in 14 one score games, but they won 12 of those. Actually, they were in 15, if you count yesterday, won 12 of those because they lost to they only lost the two of them. They lost Chargers, Colts, Jaguars was not a one score game. Okay. But as enjoyable as the season was, as I still think they have a bright future, I think they got pieces in place to build around. I think they're going to have a nice little window to make a run at the Super Bowl. You know, you just never know. Mm-hmm. We saw the Lions last couple of years have a lot of success, missed playoffs this year. So the Commanders last year make the NFC Championship game, not even the playoffs this year. And I know their quarterback got injured and everything. But I think with the Broncos ownership group, with their general manager, with their head coach, with the guys they have signed up with contract extensions, I think they have the pieces to keep making runs at the AFC West. If you make a run at the AFC West, you're going to be in the playoff mix. But whenever somebody talks about this season, it'll be hard for me to not wonder what if. Mm-hmm. What if Bo Nix does not get injured at the end of that Buffalo Bills game?
Yeah. Stidham made one very good throw, and that was early. And, of course, the conditions worked against them in the second half, especially New England has a 9-minute drive where it wasn't even snowing when they started the drive, and the whole thing was covered by the end. So they didn't really have a shot in the second half to get a whole
lot. It still held them to a field goal.
And still held them to a field goal. Drive, yeah, 9-minute drive, field goal. And, again, the conditions were rough.
Oh, they were terrible. I mean, there was always snow predicted, but I don't think anybody thought it was going to be a blizzard like.
No, I was having a hard – I had no idea where they were at on the field unless they told us. You know, they're on, you know, the opponent's 32 or whatever. I love a good snow game when my team's not in it. I'm sure it sucked watching them in the snow.
Yeah, you know, and I go back and forth on all these stadiums becoming retractable roof,
hate it,
indoor stadiums and everything. But when my team's in it yesterday and struggling, I'm like, 2031 can't come here quick enough. We can close the roof in same condition, you know. But I, as a traditionalist in football, I hate that, like, literally every stadium except like four by in the 2030s are going to have some, at least the ability to have a retractable roof. But I knew. I wasn't feeling good at halftime when I thought Denver dominated the first half and it was 7-7. You know, it was a stupid, stupid decision by Jared Stidham to try a two-handed basketball chest pass that went backwards. That should have been just a scoop and score touchdown, but, you know, they called it dead when they grabbed the ball. And anyway, Drake May scores. That's the only touchdown Denver's defense gave up all day. I thought Denver's defense played really well. But in the second half, I thought New England – kind of pretty much dominated, except for New England's punter, which it was tough conditions. Had a real tough day.
It kept
Denver a good field position, but they could take advantage of it. Will Lutz, who had been nails all year, misses two field goals. Granted, the 46-yarder, the last one 4 minutes ago, it got tipped, which I think if it didn't get tipped, it's probably going in, but we don't know. New England also missed two kicks. It just unfortunately Stidham had two turnovers, and going into the game, that was my biggest thing. Like, you can't lose the turnover battle. They lost the turnover battle. Everybody today, of course, and I get it, wants to point fingers at Sean Payton for the 4th-and-1 call. It wasn't even the decision to go for it. It was more the call for me. But even the more I've watched the play and everything, got to tip your cap to New England for making the defense adjustments right before the snap. They switched their defense right before the snap. They went from a man look to a zone look, and it was a little too late to do anything about it. And really, to those people saying that, those Broncos fans that want Sean to give up play calling, or some idiots want Sean fired, I'm like, the dude has flipped the culture in 3 years.
He
can be a jerk, but he knows what he's doing. And he was aggressive all year long. Part of that aggressive play calling got them to the AFC Championship game. So I was fine with it. I mean, in the moment, I wanted them to go for it. Now, I thought they might QB sneak it or try to run the ball, not do a play-action rollout pass to the halfback. And if you get that and get up 14-0, that might be enough.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be a nail in the coffin. But, you know, hindsight's, you know, whatever you say, 2020 or 2020, whatever, it's 40, whatever 40. This game is. I'm looking forward to next year. I think they're going to have money to spend free agency. The $32 million of Russell Wilson that was on the books this year is off. They got to get another piece of the run game because the running game was terrible after J.K. Dobbins went out in October, whether it's re-sign him or just draft another piece or pick up another running back free agency. They also need another reliable wide receiver target. They have some young guys, but Pat Bryant can't stay healthy so far through his rookie year, even though I think he's got promising future. Troy Franklin's been up and down. Marvin Mims is a nice speedy option, but he's not really a number two. And Cortland Sutton's good, but he's not really number one. I don't know if you can go find number one in the offseason, but you need another reliable guy that can get you big catches, because even though Stidham wasn't very good yesterday, I thought the wide receiver drops were a huge problem for Denver. And yeah. Evan Engram hasn't come through as a tight end either. So offensive line, got all those guys right. wrapped up. Defensive yeah. line, got them wrapped up. Defensive backs, they're wrapped up contract-wise. They can play around with the linebackers a little bit. But all in all, I'm feeling pretty good about the future. But this will overall, this loss will take me a couple days to recover, because I feel like they had a golden opportunity to make the Super Bowl, and you just never know when you're going to make another AFC championship appearance, let alone be the one seed and have home field advantage. And I still think they lose the Super Bowl to Seattle, but I just wanted to get there. And for sure. it just stinks, but that's football.
Yeah. My one thought on the fourth and one call is with a backup quarterback, I almost would prefer them just take the points.
Sure.
I probably wouldn't have put it in his hands. I mean, he did look okay. The first drive, he looked bad. And then he threw that great ball on third down to get him inside the 10 on their scoring drive. Was it even a full one? I feel like it was more like fourth and a foot or fourth and 2 feet, maybe.
Yeah, that's a great question, because I feel like if it was less than one, they definitely should. Hindsight,
they
should have snuck it. But and honestly, I thought Drake May's legs won New England the game.
Yeah, in the second half, he took off a couple times. One on a third down too. That was kind of a backbreaker.
It was third and 10, and then the last first down came on third and 6.
Yeah, third and 6. So, that one too.
Yeah,
Because he didn't throw the ball well at all. He was pretty inaccurate. His guys had some drop issues too, but again, real tough conditions. And catch. Drake May looked like he was almost scared out there.
He got sacked a lot.
His offensive line's bad. Will Campbell, their first round pick, got absolutely dominated by Nick Bonito.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the Super Bowl. Now he is the second youngest quarterback ever to start a Super Bowl. Can you name the youngest guy?
Was it Ben Roethlisberger?
It was not. It's actually Dan Marino. It was his one and only. So again,
second year, right?
Yep. Second year. Just like Drake May. New England can't take this one for granted. Like, he'll be back, like a lot of Dolphins fans did.
And it's remarkable what they did after 2-4-13 seasons to flip it around 13-4. And they spent a ton of money in the offseason. It's paying off. But, like, I still don't look them as, like, dominating, like the Brady-Belichick era Patriots. No,
they hadn't played anyone really until postseason. And then, of course, they found a way to win games. Sure. And they were helped out by facing a mediocre Chargers team. Who did they even play last week? Houston, terrible Houston team. And then they got to face Jarrett Stidham, so they're still.
Well, Houston's defense was.
It is.
Their good. Offense just struggled, especially that game.
And New England's defense is incredible.
Yeah, it's good. Top five defense.
They showed. But yeah, Vrabel came in there and completely changed things around, because it was very clear Belichick was a product of Tom Brady. Towards the end there. But I mean, we finally get the Chiefs out of there. All right. Yep. We get the Chiefs out of there, and our prize is New England's back in it. Like, what the heck?
Yeah. It's pretty disgusting.
But it really is. It's kind of pathetic.
And I guess my last thing on the game, and this is just coming from a Bronco fan perspective and kind of negative on my end, but I have a tough time not viewing it as the Broncos lost the game more than the Patriots won the game. So.
Yeah. Had a chance to take control early. Sure. And you go up 10-0, it might have been, maybe it. I mean, obviously, if Stidham doesn't turn it over there, if he just takes a sack, you know,
I know
it might end up winning anyway.
It's so frustrating. Like I saw screenshots of that play today, but you know, screenshots are just literally screenshots, and you're not seeing all fast motion. But if he could have just somehow lobbed that ball, and if Tyler Bidet caught, there was nobody within 40 yards. Yeah. I mean, it was clear, but I wish he could have recognized that pressure was going to be coming and got outside the tackle box and just throw it away. But we're just, like you said, eat the sack, punt the ball. But quarterbacks, especially ones that are inexperienced and backups a lot of times, panic. And, you know, I remember years ago, Jake Plummer threw a left-handed one time they got picked off for a touchdown back in his playing days. I forget if he was on the Cardinals or Broncos then. But, you know, just sucks. Yeah. But it is what it is. I mean, I'm still glad. It was a fun season, like I said, 14-3, a lot of memorable moments. But it's going to go down for me as a what-if type season. Just how it ended.
Dolphins haven't played in an AFC championship since I was 2. So, I would kill to lose an AFC championship.
They got to break that winless playoff streak one of these days, man.
You'd think. They had a real, real good opportunity 2 years ago and choked the division away. They would have had to face Buffalo round one in Miami anyway, so it probably wouldn't have mattered. Yeah. New England's been to 10 Super Bowls since the last time Dolphins won a playoff game. I remember watching that Dolphins playoff game very clearly. It was against Colts, and Vander Schenk shanked one as he did in overtime. Dolphins get the ball, and Lamar Smith, I think their running back name was, that over 200 yards rushing that game. And had a rushing touchdown to win it. Didn't think that'd be the last time they'd win one, but here we haven't had too many opportunities. They've only hosted one playoff game since then. It was 2008. It was 2009.
That's the year they won the AFC East that
year?
Yep,
that was the last year they won the AFC East. Chad Pennington, they set a record low for turnovers in a season. I'm sure it's probably been broken. They only turned it over 13 times all season. And they turned it over 5 times in the playoff game.
That'll do it.
Yeah, that happens. But we'll see. New coach, new regime. Who knows?
Yep. Rebuild time. Definitely. So I would think.
Again is the issue. That's the problem. Again, 5 years later, you got to do it again.
NFC side, good game last night like we thought it would be. Division rivals, they've already played twice this year, and they were good games. But the home team, Seattle, outdueled Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford, who I know he said he's got to think about if he'll come back next year. I think he comes back.
He's only 37.
He'll
be 38, I guess, next back. Month.
But Seattle, man, they're just tough. Sam Darnold played probably his best game of his career yesterday. They got good weapons.
Yeah, Jackson Smith and Jigba might be the best receiver in the league now.
He was awesome yesterday. 10 catches or 11 catches, 156 yards. Cooper Kupp, stud. They got good players on defense. I mean, you don't have household names like you did Legion of Boom, but they're well coached. They're going to travel to Santa Clara like another. I mean, it's going to feel like a home game for them for a Super Bowl. I think they'll be, I don't know if the line, I'm sure the line's out already, but I think they'll be, I would think they'd be
5.5.
I'm going 6.
All right.
But I mean, never say never with New England Super Bowl, but I would think Seattle will beat them fairly easily.
I think so too. 4.5.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree though. I think Seattle's quite a bit better. Drake May had a fantastic year, but didn't play anyone. He's been bad in the postseason. Sam Darnold's been very, very good.
Better weapons too. Seattle's got better weapons.
Seattle's better weapons. Both defenses are fantastic. I mean, Seahawks defense all year has been good. Devin Witherspoon's been in the league 3 years now, and he's made the All-Pro team twice. I would say he's been a Pro Bowler all 3 years, but Shadur was Pro Bowl this year.
As of today, Pro Bowl done. Dead to me. Yeah. Dead to me. I mean, I am all Pro, not Pro Bowl.
Need to stop the Pro Bowl crap. Yeah.
Do they think that might get him ratings or something?
That's the only reason.
What the heck?
I don't think anyone watches any Pro Bowl festivities anymore, and I think it's creating a conversation around it for the first time in a decade.
Can't we just do the honors and not have a game? And give it to guys who actually deserve it?
So many people opt out anyway. I can't imagine the players really want to be. When it was in Hawaii, the players probably wanted to go and, have fun in Hawaii, but it's no longer there. So
No.
There's really no point of it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But great game. Came down to the wire. I mean, Nacua was inbounds by about 3 inches, and the clock ran, or they would have had a shot at a Hail Mary. At least he would have been right around the 50. And Stafford still got a cannon. So
he does. I thought he was gonna lead him to a win at the end. Not there, but with 4 minutes left when they end up turning over on downs.
Yeah.
I thought they were gonna get touched on there and win the game. But
I agree. I saw a lot of people saying just kick the field goal, man. Well, there's 4.5 minutes left. You have no idea if you're gonna get the ball back.
Exactly.
At all.
It's not a video game.
Right, exactly. and somebody said, well, you gotta get a stop anyway, sure. But you know, you could take the lead and win it then.
Yes.
I don't agree with the.
Everybody likes to be
Monday morning quarterback.
An armchair quarterback too. So, all this NFL talk about AFC, NFC championship games kind of pretty well does blends in with my blind rankings for the week. And I looked back at AFC champion quarterbacks of our lifetime that aren't named Brady, Manning, or Mahomes.
All right.
Starting with Drake May, as painful as that is for me to say.
AFC winning quarterbacks. There's two quarterbacks that I know are way worse than him. I'm going to put him fourth.
Fourth? Okay. Yep. Joe Burrow.
Can't stay healthy. He's the most injured quarterback in the NFL, and he's still living off that. Not him, but the media is still living off him making a Super Bowl years ago. He hasn't done anything since. I'm going to put him three.
Three?
I think it's better than
Steve
Drake,
McNair. Rest in peace.
Oh, man. I was thinking you were going to have Dilfer or Brad Johnson on. Well, Brad Johnson was NFC. What am I talking about? Steve McNair. I got him two. He won an MVP, didn't he? Did he?
I think he did.
I don't remember.
I think he did. Joe Flacco.
I'll put him one, I guess. Elite Joe Flacco. Still hanging around. It's crazy.
He was in that playoff run.
Yeah.
Rich Gannon. He was an MVP.
Five. I'm okay with that. Re-rank. I'm okay with my 4 or 5. I probably have McNair 1, Burrow 2, and Flacco 3. Okay. Since McNair won an MVP, we think he won an MVP. McNair was good for that day and age.
'99 Titans. Yeah. Yeah, he was real good.
Yeah, he was really good.
He was good for Baltimore, too. You know, I could have thrown Big Ben on there, but I wanted to give you more.
He did. He won it. Rank. He won MVP in 2003. Nobody.
Oh, so that's okay.
Yeah. Rich Gannon won MVP, as we said.
But, yes.
I'm okay with that, Liz.
Did you know Gannon was drafted as a wide receiver originally?
I didn't know that. I never saw him being athletic at all.
He was a Chief, but I don't know if they drafted him. Somebody drafted him as a wide receiver, but he said, no, I'm a quarterback type thing. Actually, you said Dilfer. I thought until today, Dilfer was the Super Bowl winning quarterback. But according to Google, he did not start the AFC Championship.
I remember that.
Can you tell me who did?
His last name, Banks.
Yeah, it was.
What was his first name? I forget.
I believe it was Tony.
Tony Banks. Banks. Yep. I do remember that. Yeah, I forgot.
The name Dilfer, I completely forgot about until today.
I did too. I do remember Tony Banks, though.
Yep. So good rankings. Good rankings. I think you're right around where I would have been. And the blind ranking segment is brought to you by Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting in 2026, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. So you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. And one more NFL topic I want to hit on before we move on. NFL coaching carousel. Jobs are starting to get filled, but other jobs are open. You hit on one earlier. Mike McCarthy is now the Pittsburgh Steelers head coach. A lot of Steelers. pretty much all Steeler Nation, I think, is pretty underwhelmed by this hire, including our friend of the show, Sean Shriver, which he texted me this morning. Several bold predictions. One, Mike McCarthy will break the string of 19 consecutive winning seasons for the Steelers. Yeah. Two, Mike McCarthy will become the first Steelers head coach to, one, have a losing record, and two, last less than five seasons or less than 20. And he said, in fairness to McCarthy, he was largely successful in Green Bay and Dallas because he inherited a pretty good team and, more importantly, a great quarterback. It's clear to me that Pittsburgh is in the midst of a rebuild. No quarterback, although McCarthy claims that he thinks Will Howard is the guy. Average running back room, one good wide receiver who's a child.
Yeah.
And nobody else. Average tight end, an aging defense whose best stars have 9+ years of experience. The only strength for them moving forward is a good O-line.
Yeah, hard to disagree with any of that. Do you know that meme of the old guy on Christmas? He's holding up his Christmas gift, and it's a shirt, and he's wearing the exact same shirt he'd got previous Christmas. That's what it kind of reminds me of. I mean, they're obviously different guys, him and Tomlin, but it's just it doesn't inspire that much confidence for them. And I mean, they might be good next year if they have Rodgers, but I don't think they'll be any better than 9-8. Or 10-7, like they've been for the past, 10 years. He is a Pittsburgh guy though, McCarthy is, so maybe that can spark him a little bit. But it's just kind of underwhelming if I'm a Steeler fan.
Well, and I read Brian Flores was one of the three finalists, and I don't remember the other guy was the coordinator. I don't remember who it was. Will something? I want to say Will. I don't know. Maybe
I saw it
on the bottom ticker today, and yeah. I didn't make a note of it. It will be interesting. The NFC North, three new head coaches, and then Zach Taylor. Cleveland Browns, nobody wants the job. I think Jim Schwartz probably gets it in house.
Should.
But nobody wants it. Everybody takes their name out of it. And I don't blame them.
Have you seen what they're requiring in the interview process?
No.
The Browns want them to write multiple essays like they're applying for college. They have to do a personality test. They have to answer a Q&A, another questionnaire. It's a whole thing, and that's why so many people have pulled their name out of
the franchise. Embarrassing.
The same people that are doing this are the same ones that spent $250 million on Deshaun Watson. No one questions them about that. So I bet it'll be Jim Schwartz or Nathan Shielhouse, believe it or not. It's probably between those two guys. I don't think Shielhouse is nearly ready to be a head coach. I think he will be eventually.
The Bills do want to interview him, but the Bills are interviewing everybody and their mother right now.
Yeah. I think it'll be Jim Schwartz there in Cleveland, and it'll be two and done, and they'll be hitting the drawing board again.
And then Baltimore hired Jesse Minter.
Good hire.
DC from the Chargers. So good hire there. Chargers, speaking of, it wasn't a head coaching vacancy. OC Mike McDaniel scares me to death.
I think he'll be a very good offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Pair him with Harbaugh, two oddballs.
Yeah. That interview had to be a pretty funny watch. If
one will be vaping, the other one will be drinking an ice cold glass of milk.
Arizona's still open. Buffalo.
I think Vance Joseph will be Arizona's next head coach.
Interesting.
I think I'm pretty confident on that. If not, I think he's back with the Broncos. I'm pretty confident in that.
I'm hoping it's Dolphins defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver, because if it is, Dolphins get two third round.
He was the finalist with the Steelers.
Oh, with Steelers. Okay.
Weaver, not Will Weaver. Yeah.
Yeah. He interviewed for the second time in Arizona today, so I'm hoping he gets a job somewhere so Dolphins get those comp picks. But
the Raiders are interviewing a lot of people. I still think Brian Flores, but they were interviewing today Davis Webb, the quarterback coach of the Broncos, for the second time. The Bills also want to interview him because he and Josh Allen are buddies, but he's younger than Josh Allen. It's kind of weird.
But it sounds
that's
like
going to happen with Buffalo. They're going to hire one of Josh's buddies or somebody he's worked with.
Josh has been sitting in on interviews, which I think is a very stupid idea.
It's been a
mess since they fired McDermott, and I am very, very happy for it.
He is their franchise, but anytime you do that, that's a dangerous game. Anytime you have a player, in the interview process, any other jobs open or have filled since last Monday?
Since last one, I think Dolphins hired Halfley before.
We talked about that Monday last week. Yep.
Giants hired Harbaugh. I think we talked about that one.
Minter, Ravens.
Minter is new, but we just talked about him. McCarthy.
Titans hired anybody yet?
Titans hired Robert Saleh.
We didn't talk about that one. Yep. Okay.
Interesting hire. I think I feel bad for him, though, because I think he could be a good head coach, but it's maybe the two worst organizations in the NFL is now he's been head coach of.
Yep.
The Jets have cleaned house on their staff besides their head coach, so starting over there again. I think that's it.
You know, I couldn't, and I know this is a little off topic, I couldn't watch Sam Darnold last night and not think about, like, I bet the Vikings regret that.
Yeah, I agree. My dad, one of my dad's best buddies is a big Viking fan, and he asked him last night, do you think Vikings still be playing right now if Sam Darnold was still there? And he said, heck no, that offensive line was just absolutely pathetic this year. So.
Yeah.
At the same time, they won 9 games with J.J. McCarthy, Max Grosmer, and
I think O'Connell is a coach.
I do,
heck of a coach. So. Yep. Well, we will see. We'll update everybody next Monday as a lot of these other jobs start to get filled. So, yep. Of course, if they want anybody on Seattle or New England, though, they got to wait until after the Super Bowl. But everybody else, free game now.
Trying to think if anyone's even been mentioned. See, Clint Kubiak is the one guy for Seattle that has been mentioned with other jobs, but I don't think anyone in New England has. I think McDaniel's time in the sun is over.
That's the only place that I think will employ him anymore.
Yeah.
He's a good fit there. I mean, it works, but yeah, they showed his face enough on TV yesterday.
Yeah.
My one finger got a good workout. real quick, before we get into talking college sports, football and basketball, let's see what happened on this day in sports and around the world besides the birth of Joshua Daniel Mutt in 1992.
Oh, I'm here.
We'll see here. And we'll see what athletes you share birthdays with, which you probably know some.
Wayne Gretzky and Vince Carter are the two that I know that are probably the biggest names that I share.
Wayne Gretzky's pretty hard to beat. I mean, I still think he might be the greatest athlete of his sport over anybody else. On this day, 1913, Jim Thorpe relinquished his 1912 Olympic medals for playing 2 seasons of semi-professional baseball before competing in the Olympics.
Yeah.
A lot of cricket. What in the heck? Oh, this day, 1960, high school basketball sensation Danny Heater, what a name, scored 135 points.
Heater's such a good last name for a high school basketball player.
Yes, it is.
Heater's on a heater.
Any good basketball player,
regardless of level.
Also on this day, 1960, the Oakland Raiders entered the American Football League. On this day, 1963, the Major League Rules Committee voted to expand the strike zone.
Huh. I wonder where the strike zone was before.
On this day, 1985, the great one, Wayne Gretzky of then the Edmonton Oilers, scored his 50th goal in the 49th game of the season.
Man. On his birthday, too. It's pretty good.
On this day, 1986, who won the Super Bowl?
86, that would have been the Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears won Super Bowl 20. Yep. Beat the Patriots 46-10. MVP was?
Fridge.
No.
Jim McMahon.
Richard Dent.
Richard Dent. I knew that.
Yeah. On this day, 1992, who won the Super Bowl?
Buffalo Bills beat the Washington, or then Redskins.
Redskins beat the Bills.
Bills never won. Well, what am I talking about? I knew
37-24. MVP was?
I can't think of his name.
His relative is his nephew,
Rippon. Yeah. Mark Rippon.
Yep, Mark Rippon. There you go. Yep. Saw his nephew last Bronco home game I went through. I saw his nephew take on Zach Wilson. What a quarterback deal.
Fun matchup.
Yeah, that was a horrible game. On this day, 1997, who won Super Bowl 31?
97, would have been the Green Bay Packers, right?
They beat the New England Patriots 35-21. Who was the MVP?
Desmond Howard.
Desmond Howard for taking that kick back to the house.
Back, yeah.
And on this day, 2003, who won Super Bowl 37?
2003. That was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the
Buccaneers.
Vegas. Oakland Raiders.
Beat the Oakland Raiders 48-21. Who is the MVP?
Oh, Dante Jackson.
Dexter Jackson.
Ah, oh, Dexter Jackson. Safety. Dang it. Good. I know it started with a D, though.
I wouldn't even got Jackson right. Even though the Pro Bowl is worthless, on this day, 2014, Team Rice beat Team Sanders 22-21 Pro Bowl. Who was the MVPs? There was two of them.
I have no idea.
Nick Foles and Derek Johnson.
That's when it started going downhill. Huh? 2014, put it on the list. Nick Foles making the Pro Bowl.
And on this day in 2020, one of basketball's greats, Kobe Bryant, and his daughter and a couple other passengers tragically died in a helicopter crash.
Yeah.
I remember watching Indiana lose to Ohio State at home, and that came up, and it just didn't feel real.
That was a weird birthday for me.
And last year, who won the AFC Championship and NFC Championship on this day?
Chiefs and Eagles.
Chiefs beat the Bills 32-29, and the Eagles beat the Commanders 55-23.
Man, that was a whooping. Absolute whooping. Yeah,
absolute whooping. And that'll do it for the On This Day, brought to you by Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on system strategy and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you with your digital marketing.
Do you want to do our bold predictions here before we get to?
Yes, I about completely forgot about those. Yep.
My first bold prediction is the St. Louis Cardinals finished last in the National League Central. It would be the first time. I'm going to look it up real quick because they never finished last. Baseball Reference. They've done nothing. They've traded away everyone pretty much, and they are tearing her down. They have not finished last since. No, I'm way off. Have they ever not finished last? They have not finished last. Oh man, have they never? Have they?
That's gonna be really bold. They never have. Still bold, anyways.
I don't know if they ever have.
That's what it's for, though.
Yeah. Fifth. Oh, they just finished last in 2023. So that was their first time though since 1990. So it's on my bold predictions. I think they finished last. I think they're better than the Pirates, or worse than Pirates. Man, I'm struggling.
This one's maybe more hopeful from me, but I could see it happening. That's why I put it in here. Neither Notre Dame or Indiana will make the college football playoff.
That's a good one. That's a real good one.
They're not expanding it yet, but we know with the new rules, if Notre Dame's ranked in the top 12 in the final poll, they're in.
That's a joke. Absolute joke.
But yeah. I think both will be good. Both are going to be ranked highly like they should. I think they'll have good seasons. I just don't see them, either one of them, making the playoff. That's where I'm going with that.
Toronto Blue Jays missed the playoffs after winning the American League last year.
I could see that. Sometimes franchises get their first bite of success in a long time, and then they don't know how to keep it going. So, Thad Mata will retire after this season.
I could see it. They are on a 3-game win streak, but they got to do a whole lot more winning to get back in contention.
Yes.
For a tourney berth. Yeah. A team in the NFL will go first to worst in their division this year. This is not part of my bold prediction, but I think it's going to be the Chicago Bears. They were able to play them.
You did this already. Said it was going to be the Saints.
No, from first to worst, not worst to first. Oh, yeah,
the Bears. Never mind. Okay, I was going to say, man, you are really struggle busting. Okay,
no.
I'm on the struggle bus.
Flip it. First Bears. To worst, Bears played a fourth place schedule this year where they won a bunch of really close games. So that's a tough division.
Okay. My next three are pretty darn bold. You can argue they're maybe the three boldest I have on this list so far. Mm. But Danny Hurley will leave UConn for the NBA.
I can't see him lasting in the NBA, but I could definitely see him leaving.
He's getting frustrated with things. Yeah. I mean, he's having awesome. He's doing an awesome job again with UConn. That's why it's so bold. I don't know what NBA jobs would be open that might entice him. Yeah. He didn't go to the Lakers, but there we go.
Yeah. Knicks probably not going to open. I just think it's one of the big jobs that would have to open for him to leave.
Right here on Facebook, Roger Vogel says, "Happy birthday, Josh!"
Thank you, Roger.
I love hearing that first.
Big Packer fan. I remember at his house, he had like a man cave and had a bunch of Reggie White stuff.
One of the best to ever do it.
Yep. My next one here is for Fernando Mendoza does not go number one overall.
That's bold.
Yeah,
that's bold. I think the Raiders got to go quarterback.
I think so too.
My next one, pretty bold, especially after this weekend when he won yet another golf tournament, became the third or fourth player ever to have over $100 million in winnings now.
Man.
Scottie Scheffler I'm talking about. But I'm saying Scottie Scheffler will not win a major in 2026.
That would be bold.
Probably wrong about that because he just dominates, but hey.
This is probably the least bold one I have on this list, and it's involving one of my teams. Tua Tagovailoa and Tyreek Hill are both cut before the new league year in March. Now, why I said before is because it makes it more bold, because I think probably one will get cut post June 1.
Yeah.
But I think they're both cut before the new league year.
I think they need to cut ties with both.
Definitely.
Eat some money. It stinks to do, but I've just got to do it.
Yeah, rip the Band-Aid.
And my last one, the Buffalo Bills will miss the playoffs.
Ooh. I could see that.
I could see that division, if they struggle, only getting one team in, probably the Patriots, because I think the AFC West is going to be good again. North, I don't know. South, yeah, well, I've talked myself into saying that the East only going to get one team in. It's not going to be
close. I would say the only way they get one team in would be shocking if they only get one team in, unless New England falls back.
Yeah.
I think Bills will probably end up being better than them, but I like that one. Yeah. Definitely.
Yep. But next week's our last one. Six of them next week to make.
I'm going to have to scrape the bottom of the barrel to try to find something.
They've been pretty good this year. We're probably going to get a lot wrong. But
yeah.
It's all right. Real fast before college basketball, I will get yelled at if we don't talk about IU Miami a little bit from last Monday night.
I was about to say, you're just stalling because you don't want to talk college hoops. But
that too. But I do feel like I will get called out. I know I will get text messages. Yeah. I do appreciate I got zero text messages from IU fans. Nobody rubbed it in. Can't say the same for my dad. His phone kind of lit up like a Christmas tree the other night. There are a handful of IU fans I am sincerely happy for.
Yeah.
A lot of them that jumped on the bandwagon, I'm not. A lot of them that root for Notre Dame year round, except this year, I'm not. But it was a good game. Miami fought in hunting there, almost had it. But, the big IU plays were the blocked punt for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And then a Mendoza 4th-and-5 run, which will live on in college football history, not just IU football history. So it happened. Never thought I'd see the day.
Yeah,
football wins a national title, but here we are.
I really thought Miami outplayed them in the second half.
I did as well.
By a decent margin, and the block punt was the difference, and obviously the Mendoza had the great stuff.
And Charlie Becker, I've never seen a wide receiver
he gets everything, man.
Struggle so bad for one half of the year and then flip a switch and become the best receiver in America in the second half.
He caught tough catches, too.
Ever since the Penn State game. That's all he did.
Yeah. A lot of them on a third down by the sideline. Yep. Yeah.
Man.
Heck of a game. It was the best national title game in a while, I think. It was very good. And credit to Indiana. Cignetti said, "Google me, I win." Everyone made fun of him, but by golly, he does.
2 years, two college football appearances, Big Ten title, national title, Rose Bowl, Peach Bowl. Only two losses in 2 years. And one of my coworkers told me this, and I didn't fact check. I mean, he follows Indiana football pretty close. So I think he got this right. He would know. Indiana won 16 games this year. Over 50% of four-year players for Indiana in their careers didn't win 16 games total.
I believe it. I mean, that's four a year, essentially. I would say that's about where they averaged.
I was a Purdue student for five football seasons. Purdue won 21 games in my 5 years.
That's four. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Man.
Heck of a season.
And greatest turnaround in the history of sports. And hopefully we don't have to talk about it again.
Yep. I got a text from my dad. I'm guessing that's in reference to my Bills prediction. I don't know. He's not happy with something I said.
I'm sure it's the Josh Allen stuff.
Probably. Sure. Probably. He was whining like a baby when Denver knocked him out. So. Congratulations, Indiana football fans. You know who you are out there that I'm happy for. I've already talked to you.
Select few that we're happy for.
Now go back to going 4-8. I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, go back to where you belong.
I don't think they will as long as he's there. Either. And his coordinator's there. His coordinators are just as important as him.
Yeah. Yeah. Went to college for 5 years, Faust says.
Four and a half.
I almost said that too. I was like, yeah, I remember the old academic probation for a semester.
Four and a half. Thanks, Josh, for everybody who didn't know out there. Four and a half. I wish I would have done the full victory lap. Yeah. But because
you paid for an apartment for that entire victory lap.
Thank you for that too, Josh.
I don't forget
that. You're lucky it's your birthday. I'll remember that, Josh. I'll pull some stuff out. My back pocket. So. But Faust knows he's one of them I'm talking about. That's
yes.
Diehard since day one. And he even said he was getting annoyed with people saying, how long have you been an IU football fan? You know, he had to scrape back into the Jerry DiNardo days and the Bill Lynch days and everything to bring up some memories.
I understand that because a lot of people were like that when the Cubs won World Series too. I'm like, I've been watching since I was like 3 years old.
Yeah, people don't understand.
Yeah.
So, all right, now college hoops talk.
I wish I had a little bit more time because I was very much.
You can go as long as you want. Go as long as you want.
Good week for Illinois. Obviously, they beat Maryland, who's very, very bad.
But they're a thorn in Underwood's side.
They are. I mean, Underwood has dominated Wisconsin, dominated Michigan, dominated Ohio State, Iowa, those kind of teams. But it was 3-9 heading into 3-10 heading into playing Maryland against Maryland. But Maryland's bad. Illinois got some bad news on Tuesday. Their second best player, best defender, Kylan Boswell, fractured his hand. It'll be out a month. They're saying 3 to 4 weeks. He had surgery last week, and they're still saying 3 to 4 weeks. Well, that seems a little quick.
That's a month.
It is, but for surgery and a non-displaced fracture, I don't know. I think it's a shooting hand, too, if I remember. The splint was on his right hand. But anyway, so I'm, again, just like you were talking, like Purdue's not going to win another game. When Boswell got hurt, I'm like, I don't know how they're going to stop Braden Smith, which they didn't. But I don't know how they're going to stop any of these guys. It's going to ruin the team. But Underwood made me feel better because he said when Shannon was suspended for those six games 2 years ago, the team found something in those six games. I'm like, all right, maybe they'll find something. Beat the doors off of Maryland. And they're going into Purdue. There's no way they're going to win. You know, I just didn't want to, get their doors blown off like they have. Cause Mackey has a way of punching you in that mouth in the first 10 minutes of the game. And I completely agree with you, Austin. 9 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah. For everybody listening real quick, Austin Faust on Facebook said, even though IU is a football school, it's criminal that the Big Ten made IU versus Purdue a 9 o'clock PM weeknight game on Peacock. Yeah.
Yeah, they like to put their big matchups on Peacock now because they're trying
Peacock
to
and Fox
as much as possible.
Yep.
Purdue really did kind of punch Illinois in the mouth the first 10 minutes or 15 minutes or so. Got up 11. I'm thinking, all right, they're going to lose by double digits. Just keep it close. Keep it within striking range so it doesn't look as bad. But then Keaton Wagler happened, man. It was the most impressive performance, greatest performance I've ever seen wearing an Illinois basketball uniform. Second highest scoring game in the history of the school, 46 points, most three pointers made in a single game with 9, shattered the freshman record, and which was 35 by Georgie Bishanishvili, on a 9-game under 500 Illinois team in overtime against a terrible Rutgers team. So the stakes were a little different back then. But Wagler, man, he was unbelievable. Purdue tried so many different things. They switched everything at first, which I understand why they did it, because, you know, they didn't want Tommy Avisic to have wide open shots or David Mirkovic have wide open threes. Wagler just kept shooting over Clough. He kept making them. I mean, he kept them in it. I mean, he scored 19 of their first 21 points, had 24 points at halftime. Second half, Purdue made the adjustment. And it didn't matter. He was hitting everything. He was getting to the rim. He's getting to the free throw line. And then in the biggest moments of the game late, he ended up with three assists in the final 2.5 minutes, two to Tommy Avisic, one to tie it. That was kind of the dagger to make it a 5-point game. And then one to Jake Davis. They gave him the lead. So they were able to get production out of a lot of different guys. It wasn't just Wagler's 46 points. I know he scored, you know, 46 of their 88, so it seems like it. But down the stretch, Tommy, two big threes. David Mirkovic played fantastic. And yes, Wagler had the 46 points, but I think the difference in the game was rebounding. Matt Painter said it after the game as well. I mean, Illinois out-rebounded by 14, 10 more offensive boards than Purdue, and that was the difference. And Purdue really needs to get Fletcher Loyer going.
Duh, you think? That's why they sit him for the last 8 minutes of the game.
I was going to say, I don't remember seeing him in there the final 10 minutes. He didn't box out, gave up an offensive rebound, put back Jake Davis at the start of the second half, and I don't even remember seeing him take a shot after that. Maybe he did. But Braden Smith was unbelievable. 27 points, 12 assists, one turnover. I knew that'd be a very, very tough matchup for I always want to call him Peja, even though he's Peja's son, Trey Stojakovic. Braden made him pay, but they only did a really good job of shutting everyone else down. No, is it Meyer? Is that how you pronounce it? Omer Meyer?
Yeah. Yep.
Had a really good game off the bench. But as I said, Loyer didn't do much. TKR didn't really do a whole lot. He only had two rebounds. Clough didn't do a whole lot. TKR did look a little hurt.
He's still battling. He had a hip pointer earlier. He fell at UCLA, and then after that, I thought his body language was weird. I don't know. They're just in a little funk right now.
Yeah. It's a two game losing streak.
Here's though what makes me nervous, J-Man, real quick. Purdue's last five opponents, their 3-point shooting percentages.
Yeah.
Penn State 44%, Iowa 48, UCLA is 15, or USC was 15, UCLA 45, Illinois 47.
And yeah,
Indiana, a bunch of threes. So
I favorited that on Twitter as well, because I was going to bring that up, see what your thoughts are. Yeah. Now, the difference between – yes, Indiana shoots a lot of threes. The difference between Illinois and Indiana is Indiana's not big at all.
Yeah, they can't rebound.
Purdue should be able to out-rebound them. I don't think IU has a five-man that can shoot. Illinois plays five out. If the season ended today, they'd have the highest-rated offense in the history of KenPom. So they're such a tough guard. And when they're hitting shots, obviously you go 18 for 38 from three, you're going to win a lot of games. But that also leads to, you know, they could have a bad shooting night. They're going to have to find other ways to win, which it helps that they're such a good rebounding team. I mean, they're seventh in the country in offensive rebounds, best in the Big Ten. I would say that win at Purdue, I mean, top five Purdue, Mackey Arena, they'd lost, you know, seven games over 6 years there. I would say that was the best regular season win of the Underwood era. There was one other win that stood out, and it was at number two Michigan without Io. He broke his nose and he was out, but COVID year, no fans. Yeah. But they went in there and beat them by 23. So that was awesome. But Mackey Arena, Illinois only won there twice over the past 16 years now. I was feeling pretty dang good on Saturday after that game coming in. It helped that I came in with zero expectations at all.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah. It just had been a good week for Purdue fans. I mean, UCLA, yeah. You're up six with a minute and a half to go, yeah. And you lose. UCLA finished the game on an 8-0 run. Dent and Bilodeau just couldn't miss. Yeah. And Purdue had two untimely turnovers at the end of the game, yeah, that don't happen very often. Then Illinois back and forth, like I said, couldn't. I watched the game with your 83 or 84 year old Purdue graduate who's watched a lot of Purdue basketball this time. Yeah, we were both pretty frustrated with the rebound, but also had to tip the hat to Illinois. I mean, the performance, 46 point performance of one individual who was just on an absolute heater. I've never seen a Posey player play like that at Mackey. The closest I can remember, and it wasn't the same scoring, was Evan Turner put up 35. 09-10 season to lead. Yeah.
And that's
back in the game.
That's what Painter said. He said Evan Turner had a game here, but
that's when Robbie Hummel had 9-3 or whatever it was.
He said, yeah, Walker is most impressive.
But he was on a heater and he gave up the ball when he needed to at the end for his teammates to hit big shots. And Purdue just couldn't get that big stop. I thought a huge flipping point of the game was the hook and hold
for sure
foul. That was a 4-point swing. And now Purdue's lost two in a row. Fell from 4th to 12th in the rankings, which that's about where they belong after losing two in a row. Now they travel to Indiana and to Maryland this week. And Indiana's going to be rocking tomorrow night. It's their first home game since they won the national championship in football. You know they're going to bring out the trophy as they would against anybody. But it just has to be against Purdue. But I keep telling myself, Purdue was Bob Knight's return game years ago, and a team that was not going to make the NCAA tournament if it wasn't for the pandemic. And Purdue handled them pretty easily. So. Mm-hmm. The moment won't be too big for the veterans. I think Purdue gets it done, but I think it's tight.
Yeah, I'm not trying to do this. I have to get my bucket prediction out of the way.
Yes.
This will be the J-Man's bucket prediction of the week. You know what? I'm not going to have it for the IU-Purdue game. I thought about it. I think Illinois goes into Nebraska and beats them on Sunday.
Okay.
I think Nebraska loses twice this week. I think they lose at Michigan, then lose at home to Illinois. J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering, Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers, Comma, Farm Insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561. Book it!
And I was hoping we'd have time to run through the Big Ten games for predictions, but it doesn't look like we will for this week. But next week we won't have any NFL football to talk about. We'll preview the Super Bowl, give our picks, but that's it. We won't have any game to recap, so...
New Steelers coach Mike McCarthy became the 15th coach in NFL history to be hired as a head coach for at least three teams. Can you name the three guys that are tied with four?
Marty Schottenheimer one?
He is one.
Okay. I can only think of three teams for this guy, but I'm hoping there's a fourth. Bill Parcells?
Bill Parcells is one. You got at least
All right. I wasn't sure about the Jets. I was like, a Pats, Cowboys, Giants. And I was was he a Jet? Okay. Those are two names I had written down, so I need one more. Andy Reid is three. Holmgren was two or three. Gruden was two. No, Mariucci was two. Gosh. I'm just going to take a par.
All right. Pete Carroll.
I knew of Raiders, Seahawks, Patriots, Jets, wasn't it? Patriots. Son of a gun. Yep. Idiot. Okay.
He got a par.
But I should have thrown out a guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a really
tough one. It was a tough one, but.
Whew. You did good, though. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic weekend.
Happy birthday again, J-Man.
Thanks, sir.